Thank you, Jesus, that we are always more than triumphant in you. We thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors. We thank you that we had intercessors praying 2 hours ahead of time for this program, for our connections, for protection, for me and us and all of our listeners now and in the future. And we just thank you, God, that you are faithful, faithful, faithful. And you warned me that that was coming. And we have the victory. Let me dive in. This may be the most unique testimony that you've ever heard if you don't do this kind of work. If you'd like to take notes, I would strongly advise you. I had little to no notice that God wanted me to go into this area. But when you volunteer to pray for people, when you become known for having a compassion and a willingness to pray for people, they will find you. They find me by my articles on the website. I have a whole web page, a page within my website at Crosswalk Life called Survivors Home. And so if you want to know more about this subject and ministry to survivors, please go to Survivors Home at crosswalklife.com. So let me dive right in. This testimony that I'm going to share is by a survivor of satanic ritual abuse who survived, kept her sanity by dissociating. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about just fractured identity, just little fractures, not whole personalities or anything. And last week, we talked a little bit about what dissociation is. Now this week, we're going to talk about this lady who had to dissociate in order to survive because satanic ritual abuse is so horrible. And so I'm not going to emphasize that part, but I am going to have to tell you a little bit in order for you to understand, one, how horrible this is, that people have to dissociate, and that's a good thing because they need to retain their sanity and cope with the pain as little children somehow. And two, I want you to know that this is not as rare as you think. This testimony comes from years ago. I was in mental health for 25 years, but I didn't start seeing the satanic ritual abuse or SRA diagnosis until the 80s. And then by the time I started this ministry in year 2000, they were coming out of the woodwork for help. And I need help. I need people that will let me train you to intercede, to be on the phone lines or Skype or Ubu lines with me, because there are so many survivors of abuse now. We just need whole teams in each city to minister. And thank you that Jesus has the answers. Amen. So let's go. God decided to train us in ministry to survivors of abuse using on-the-job training. By the way, I'm writing this for her. I took notes. But this is not her writing. This is my writing as I took notes about what happened. One of the first survivors who came to me for restoration prayer ministry for dissociation taught me the most. She had been a missionary overseas and was currently studying to prepare for more ministry and had an active ministry online with other survivors. I thank God that she was willing to teach me and to lead seminars about dissociative identity disorder, or DID, because Christians are really behind the curve on the strategies of the devil. But when I took her history, she shared a startling truth. She said, all the ritual abuse I have known has been in the guise of Christianity. Not a single unsaved person, quote unquote, has hurt me. They were so-called Christians by day and satanic leaders by night. So believe me, I understand pain and confusion. My grandfather professed Christianity all his life and would take us with them to church in the morning and out in the woods in the afternoon. All the ritual stuff mocked Christianity and Jesus. They would torture me and yell, cry out to God and see if he'll come save you, me again. But let me back up to the beginning. This attractive young woman didn't set out to be a part of a satanic coven. She described her first years with the coven as being during ritual sacrifices as a 2-year-old. Before she turned 2 years old, she was required to sacrifice her own beloved pet with her own hand. She remembered taking comfort as she watched The Wizard of Oz, though. Every year, every child who has been forced to sacrifice their own pet in a ritual can relate to Dorothy, who is frantic, hoping the Wicked Witch of the West will not sacrifice Toto. In fact, they can relate to all 13 of the Wizard of Oz books or movies, where triggers and symbols of satanic abuse and dissociation are common. After all, where else does it snow on poppy fields except where cocaine and opiates are given to children in rituals? If you even watch the second in the series of Wizard of Oz movies, you'll see that in the second episode, which I don't recommend you watching, but if you'll take my word for it, even in the second episode where Dorothy is desperate to get back to the Wizard of Oz, Auntie Emma takes her to a doctor who shoots her up with drugs, puts her on the shock treatment table, and suddenly she's in Oz, where many people are beheaded, and the witch that's in control has a whole room full of heads, and she changes her heads from one to another when she dissociates. So if you had any doubt that The Wizard of Oz was written to keep these triggers going for people, children, that had received mind control and programming, you might want to look this up. Okay, back to our testimony. She described a childhood of repeated violation, use by force, assault, insults, and indescribable torture. By day, she went to school and church, but by night, she experienced every type of sexual abuse and violation known to man as a little child. She was either passed around in coven rituals or at a meeting of the local secret society. She was taught to deny her own emotions and perception, or else. That is, unless she was laughing about excruciating pain, that was okay. She was required to suppress rage, suicidal depression, endless shame, false guilt and accusation, worthlessness, and complete despair. Her grandfather owned many acres where these rituals went on under the moonlight. There were ritual altars and a fence where little children were held against the fence posts and raped or sodomized. Her toddler friends and preschool friends were also forced to participate in dismemberment of animals and other babies. Some of the babies had never taken their first breath. But ideally, to the Satanist, they were all Christian babies. Many would be bred in February so they would be ready for Halloween festivities. The coven members were reminded of ritual night when the high school sign remained lighted all night so no one would forget. The satanic ritual calendar was public knowledge, but most people didn't think it was real, so no one came to her rescue. It was also confusing because the same people who took her to church and told her, "I love you," were the same people who raped her and passed her around at night. But then she thought everybody's grandpa was like that. He always told her he loved her during incest. He would say, "Jesus wants me to love you this way." And the coven threatened that if she told anyone, her parents would be killed. She knew their life depended on her and all her alters or personalities keeping the vow not to tell, not to share, not to talk about Satanism. She went on to tell us that as memories returned, she realized that she had chosen to cope by dissociating from the pain, by pretending she was a different person who could enjoy life at an entirely different location. She became an expert at escaping horrific pain as she learned to dissociate and develop other parts, or alters, she called them, to take the rape, the torture, the mutilation, etc. And she could endure repeated torture without even crying. By the time she was 4 to 5 years old, she could fire guns, dismember animals or babies, and eat their parts without thinking. Now, this is seriously gross, but this is real life from many more people than you would think. Coven rituals were filled with the stench of acrid, burning flesh and horrid scenes, but she knew no other life at the time. To this day, she did not want to be in the middle of any type of circle because it reminded her of Satanists chanting and preparing the sacrifice. She would cry out to God all she wanted, but there was no protection, no sense of right and wrong, no safety for her. All she could do was choose to survive by believing what the coven said instead of believing her own feelings and perceptions. So she used her God-given intelligence to create a defense by dissociating from the pain. She could split her personality into parts who would specialize in different functions. Some were the little boys. Nick was mean and nasty, and Bob carried her anger and rage, and John took all the sexual abuse and didn't mind being nude. Rory had to feel all her feelings. Others were protectors, because many of her parts or altars were crying inside, crying all the time. She thought it was much safer to be a boy, but that didn't always work either with all these perverts. By the time she was 16, she had experienced 14 years of sexual abuse and 12 years of satanic ritual abuse. If she tried to escape, she was captured, tortured, and repaired at the hospital, but then returned to the coven. No one ever investigated the causes of her mutilation. But that wasn't the end. Her grandfather made money by selling time with her to the government. They especially coveted kids who were very good at dissociating because they wanted more and more altars to use for mind control and programming. Yes, the newspapers said that continued, but it wasn't. They would program her to do or to follow specific orders at some date in the future or on cue. Sometimes secrets were stored in her mind or the minds of the altars that could be accessed and retrieved later. Each altar had to swear an oath of loyalty to the handlers that they wouldn't tell. She was also a bloodline Satanist, meaning she was being groomed to be a regional bride of Satan. She was stripped, knifed, marked in private areas, and dedicated during orgies that lasted all night or at least until 2 or 3 in the morning. There were also other children that were kept around to be bred. Those who were the best at dissociating would be lent to the government. Through betrayal bonding, mind control and programming, electric shock, hot and cold temperatures, drugs, etc., they would be trained not to scream or object no matter what. And she reminded us that movies like Manchurian Candidate and the conspiracy theories are based on millions of true stories, not just a rare one. During the government programming, the altars learned survival skills and skills related to their future or unknown assignment. Their brilliant dissociative skills were used to split off more altars who would be stripped of all emotion and memory of the event. That altar would receive advanced training, for instance, in shooting people, and it would be stripped of all conscience and fear, and probably programmed to commit suicide if it thought of aborting the mission. The programmers were usually former Nazi programmers or their descendants. These programmers are still operating today. That's my comment. I'm aware of some situations that are current. Their intent was and is to build a super soldier army that can actually win the Battle of Armageddon. They call it the Black Awakening. They're praying for awakening too. They have the satisfaction in knowing that they are part of the greater causes of the Illuminati to wipe out Christianity and to establish the New World Order. They take the best splitters, those who are able to dissociate the best, and bloodliners to join with the Luciferian secret societies, the Illuminati, etc., to take over the world. Most of our presidents have been bloodline or Yale Skull and Bones members, she said. Now, I would like you to join with me in prayer for all the survivors, which are many more than you would think, because every coven of 13 people has to have these monthly sacrifices of animals or humans. There is a lot of missing children in the world, you know, and it's not all sex trade. All this has multiplied exponentially, and you know, Satanism is a legitimate 501c3, and we're not supposed to criticize their rituals because it's part of their religion. In closing, she shared a list of prayer requests for survivors. This is what she suggests that we can pray. Now, you know, in my manual, I've got prayers and handouts and resources. In my next manual, I have even more on the spiritual side of things. But there are so many practical things that you can pray if someone even tells you that they're a survivor. There are so many things you can do in just being a friend to that person. You may be freaking out right now thinking, I don't have a clue how to minister, how to break the power of programming or mind control or even healing for abuse. But here's a list of very practical things that I would pray for you as a survivor and that you can pray for others. It has to do with giving themselves permission to live a normal life, to have their own identity and their own thoughts and feelings. So here's some suggestions. Please pray that they will give themselves permission to come out of isolation and hiding because they've had to hide and keep the secrets all their life. Permission to remember their own memories and to take them to Jesus to be healed. Permission to ask for whatever they need because they were treated like a non-person all their life. Permission to receive compliments without owing anyone anything. Permission to write letters, testimonies, and to share. Permission to enjoy our life, she said, without fear. Probably the people with dissociative identity disorder that you minister to will still have many altars when you meet them. Permission to learn how to play and to rest. Permission to grow without pressure and expectation. Permission to seek inspiration and support. Permission to believe in ourselves, our parts inside. Permission to believe what my parts tell me. I want to remind you what I said in the previous program, that many times the amnesia walls between the different parts don't break down to the person's in their 30s or 40s. And so it's quite a shock to hear from these little parts and to hear their descriptions of what went on when they were a child. Permission to accept and nurture all my parts rather than reject them. Permission to seek adventure and new possibilities. Permission to express myself and my creativity. You know, it takes energy to be creative. Permission to listen and to share my own thoughts. Permission to draw my feelings without censorship. Asking someone to draw their feelings is sometimes the only way you can find out what happened, because their inner vows not to tell, talk, share, are so real, and they've been told their family will be killed if they tell, but sometimes they'll draw it for you. Permission to celebrate my altars or little ones inside at all ages. Permission to let go of trying to control everything. Continue a permission to recall my own memories. Permission to travel and explore my own memories. Now, this may sound pretty bizarre to you, but they have a lot of memories stored inside in different compartments, and it takes a lot of courage to go there and find out the truth. Permission to experiment and try new things. Permission to let our good God fill us. The all children in satanic bloodlines are taught very strongly that God is not good. If there is a God, he's the one letting all this happen to you, doesn't rescue you, so what's good about that? And that Satan is in charge. Permission to read for pleasure and to release emotions. Now remember, these emotions have been shut down all of their life because it wasn't okay to express any kind of emotion except maybe enjoyment of the torture. Permission to understand and release unconditional love. To let true love come into me and all my parts. To cope with dancing or exercising. Or to find any kind of way to cope, actually, besides dissociating. That's mainly the only way they know how to cope, is put it in a box and store it away somehow. Permission to feel our fears, name them, and release them to Jesus. Permission to finish projects and to be a success. You know, they've never been allowed to have a life of their own, period. And even after they get away from the coven, their self-image is so damaged, it's hard for them to picture being a success of any kind. To listen to my parts without rejecting them. To receive myself as God's great treasure. Even to take a nap without fear. To dare to deal with my dark side as well as my good side. To welcome change and to welcome new people into my life, not knowing who they might be. You see, most Satanists talk a double language. They use words that may sound like Christian words to you, like communion, sacrifice, and words like that, but they don't mean the same thing. Permission to not know all the answers. Permission to allow feelings, not to just stuff the feelings automatically. Permission to dialogue with our good Heavenly Father, to express feelings in an appropriate way, and to dream my true desires with hope. To begin again as many times as it takes, to do life differently and to enjoy it. To stretch past my comfort zone. To let Jesus heal all my wounds, to experiment with trusting new people, to be free to be who I am without apology, to learn what I'm running from. Now, I want to point out here that it's sad but true that so many times when these survivors tell people they're survivors of satanic ritual abuse and were in Satanism, they're rejected by people in the church. They're shunned. People are afraid of them. They avoid them. So sometimes they just have to keep running. I've talked to some that have changed cities because it just went around the church like wildfire that this person was a Satanist. And they lost all their friends. So how do you get healing if you can't tell anybody what you need healing for? They need permission to be celebrated by people who will accept them where they are, to be willing to forgive those who hurt them, or even to journal my own story, dark and light, to rage at God and to reconcile, to rage at myself without acting out. Because many times they're cutters, or they're programmed that if they tell anything to become suicidal or really to mutilate themselves. Permission to let my little ones grow up inside. You know, we'll all be the same age, and then we can integrate and become one. To reject the fear that we will all die if we become one. To give Jesus responsibility to protect us, and we don't have to dissociate to protect ourselves. To believe Jesus can make us one again. To believe Jesus will make us whole. To let Jesus take our memories and heal them. To give Jesus all the shame and the false guilt and accusation. To receive myself as a new creature and to be an expression of Jesus, our healer. Wow. I know that's a lot. I suggest you listen to this again. But here are some ways that you can help a survivor of abuse, even if you don't know how to minister restoration. You can say, Lord, help me to respond with empathy when they hurt. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to really sympathize, but you can say, that must have hurt really bad. To listen attentively when they share. To be a friend to those who don't know how to do friendship. They were never allowed to have regular friendship. To ask permission to reach out and touch. What that means is people that have been ritually abused, repeatedly abused, may not think touch is a good thing, and it's best to ask if they would like a hug. That might be easier than even saying, may I hug you? Just, would you like a hug? Gives them a choice. Look for ways to express unconditional love and acceptance. Say, God, just give me creativity on how to show love to this person. Be there for them even when they test you. It's tough, but they're going to test you. Like a teenager will test a new teacher, they're going to test you to see if you'll keep accepting them. If you know a little bit more, if you're just going to reject them too. Help them do warfare because they don't know how. Help them hear God with words of wisdom or words of knowledge, if you're able. Help them to discern the debilitating lies and false identity statements that have been programmed into their head. Like you'll never amount to anything, you're worthless. No one will ever love you but us. As if that's love. Help them speak faith statements and godly beliefs. Help them bear their burdens, making life bearable. Speak reconciliation and oneness with Christ. See Christ in them or introduce them to Christ. Be a safe person. That's the main thing. Be a safe person who will always guard their confidences. Don't even think about sharing it in the guise of being a prayer request. If you have promised confidence, keep it at all costs. And discern danger and hurtful situations. In other words, even within the church, someone may start gossiping about them, spreading rumors, or trying to guess why they're different. Do what you can to ward that off. But help them discern those that are not committed to loving with Christ's love. I'm going to pray for you again at the end of the program, but I'd like to just take a moment here for us to just turn to Jesus. You know, when we were children, we could just learn. Or even if we didn't have someone to learn for as children, but later in life we were all given an opportunity to receive Christ, to turn to Jesus, to give our heart to Him. But these survivors of satanic ritual abuse were taught that there is no God, or if He is, He's horrible because He claims to be all these things, and then when He sees you being ritualized and abused, etc., He does nothing. The good thing that I'd like to point out, in my experience in working with survivors of satanic ritual abuse, that once someone like myself really assures them there is a good God and He really loves them and accepts them unconditionally, they seem to accept it easier than people that were raised around Christianity or in Christian homes. They don't argue the theology. They don't whine. They're just glad to know there really is a God and that He really will transform them and heal them and renew their minds and restore their souls and heal their bodies. It's the most amazing thing to me. They have less trouble with the sovereignty of God than people that were raised in Christian homes. I'm not kidding. I have never gotten an argument from one of them. They're just like, fine, good. Like, where is he? I want him. And they may not have that as their first response because they've been taught to be quite skeptical that there could be a God. If there is, why did he let all this happen to me? But once they receive him, man. And the passion that a survivor can have for intimacy with Christ has always amazed me. They often don't settle for lukewarm, complacent, attending meetings type Christianity. They've looked for true intimacy, the true value that they can have, that Jesus made them worthy. They've looked for that all their lives. And once they find it, their passion for intimacy with Christ can be absolutely amazing. Now, I need to take a break, and I'm just going to let you listen to Vicky Yohe sing I Just Want You. And this time when you listen to it, imagine if you were a survivor of abuse and you found out that you could have a personal, interactive, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
I just want to live.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Now I would like you to think of questions, comments, questions that you have on this subject. I would really like to help you understand. I can answer most anything unless it has to do with the identity of this person. She had to disappear after she started being more public and educating all of us. She had to disappear. And so I can't say anything more specific about who she is or where she is. In fact, I don't know where she is. But if you have questions about dissociation, about child abuse, about satanic rituals or programming and mind control, any of these things we've mentioned tonight, I can make an attempt to answer it or promise to get back to you after I look it up. But God started introducing me to this subject about 20 years ago, and he's been faithful to bring people along that would help me to be able to partner with the Holy Spirit, because people have called me, even a doctor, for instance, medical doctor from Texas, called me several times. He said, how do you know what to say? How do you know what to minister? And I said, all I can say is you have to hear the Holy Spirit every step of the way, because when a person has dissociated, different altars or parts may come forward at different times, and they're different ages, and their experiences are different. Their attitudes are different. Probably their whole accent and their mannerisms are different. And you just minister in an age-appropriate and a need-appropriate way. You know, some may be all for Jesus, others not so much, you know, for instance. Now, if you would like to share a question, it will help all of us, because you know they say for every question that somebody actually asks, there's 1,000 more people that wanted to ask it and didn't. And so if you have a comment or a question or a prayer request related to this subject, I'm going to let you all go first. So please just push number one. Oh, by the way, you call 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. And then I'm going to recognize you by recognizing your area code and ask you to share your first name if you will. And then we'd like to hear your comment or question. Maybe you've got an insight that you'd like to share, an experience that you'd like help understanding, or maybe, you know, you've got a prayer request yourself. So please don't leave me hanging here. It's been a rough night already. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your peace. Amen. Okay, 917-388-4683. Surely you don't want me to close the program down now. Come on, guys. There are so many people that need us to be more aware of this subject. If nothing else, the first thing that I hear from them is, will you please just try to believe me? Because it is so hurtful to them when somebody says, nobody's that bad, that couldn't have happened. Your own parents did that, your own grandparents. You have helped sacrifice animals and or humans. You know, and then they may run and never come back. And we just have to get to that place where we can say, Lord, give me your compassion. Your compassion, your understanding. Thank you, Lord. Okay, very good. Area code 361, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Catherine.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well. What'd you say?
Catherine.
Catherine?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, I have studied theophostics, and I've studied a little Deeper Walk ministry, and I've studied a lot of Dr. Joe Albright.
Okay. It's really garbled, but you studied Theophostic and with what ministry?
Deeper Walk Ministries. I just did one study with Deeper Walk Ministries.
Deeper Walk, okay. And who else?
Dr. Joe Albright.
Dr. Joe Albright. Okay, and your question or comment?
What you do is very, very similar to what I've been studying, right?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with all of those. I will say that it's different from theophostics in that it depends on which brand of theophostic you were taught. When theophostic first came out, they had some excellent videos on this subject, by the way, and then they asked everybody to destroy them. Apparently they lost permission to use them or something. But when theophostic first came out, it was very, very simple. The counselor or the prayer minister just got quiet and they encouraged the person to go straight to Jesus. Then theophostic went through a phase where it had a manual and you had to take them through these 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 steps and ask them these certain questions. And I completely lost interest in it then because I thought the beauty of it was taking them straight to Jesus because he's perfectly capable of beginning an open vision and he doing everything himself without the prayer minister, the counselor saying anything. And I understand that some people have gone back to that. But I find that Jesus, when he wants to heal someone through an open vision, he does not want me talking. He doesn't want me coaching them. He doesn't want me to turn it into visualization or to tell him what to do. He doesn't want me to say, now Jesus is going to hug you and he's going to tell you this. Jesus is real and he is perfectly capable of carrying that whole vision by himself.
Yes. Well, we more or less, that's what we did. The manual that I think you're talking about was a group of known sins that they just got them out of the way, like playing the Ouija board and stuff like that. You know, not the horrible stuff, but, you know, get all the little stuff out of the way so that they can go straight into the bad stuff.
But let me say, Catherine, that the Restoration Prayer Ministry manual that I have put my insights into is way different even from Theophostic. Theophostic is the closest thing, I guess, to the fourth session that I do with healing of hurts, but still it's not the same. And so I would say that the Restoration Prayer Ministry that God has revealed to me and that I've been using is unique. Now, the Kilstras that started the Restoring the Foundations ministry do some of the same things, and I learned also from them. But if you'll go to my RestorationPrayerMinistry.com site and order the Restoration Prayer Ministry manual, oddly enough, I can use those same things. The Holy Spirit works the same way, whether a person has many personalities or one. It's just that you have to minister it to many, many times instead of just the one.
Okay. Well, I have the manual. I did order the manual. I got through the introduction, but I haven't got much further into it. It felt like a lot the same to me because we all dealt with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. Of course, Joe Albright was just a little, he's just a little rougher with it.
Well, I'll be interested in hearing what you know after you've studied. If you'd like to receive Restoration Prayer Ministry, please contact me. The best way to learn how to minister it to others is to receive it yourself. And if the Holy Spirit surprises you with many new insights, you know, in areas of healing and freedom and all, then, you know, that's how we really learn how to partner with him as we let him work in our own lives. It's so cool how we think, well, we think we've, you know, we've tried hard and we've learned from a lot of ministries and been healed and set free. And then if you'll let God take you through Restoration Prayer Ministry again, he heals a bunch more things. It's just awesome.
So how does he heal the parts? Does he put them back in place or something like that?
Well, that's a good question, so I'll take another minute to try to give an example. Jesus treats every single one of us uniquely and heals every one of us uniquely. So There's no put it in the box answer. But I have seen him over and over and over the years. I see it through my receiver's eyes because they dictate everything to me. They'll say, now Jesus has brought us to like a stream and there's a little bridge over it. And all of us are on one side and he's on the other side. And of course, so many of us are little children that don't understand any theology or anything. Jesus mm-hmm. just invites us to come to his side. And those of us that want to come to his side also will be given an opportunity to become one, not only with each other, but with him. And they'll say, but some of us are afraid of that. We're afraid we'll die if we become one. So Jesus is now reassuring us that we won't die. When we become one, we bring all our talents and gifts and assets, everything. We just bring it back together again. And they might say, well, we don't ever remember being one. We began to dissociate when we were two and three. We don't ever remember that. Well, gradually, Jesus is able to impart to them the faith to give him a try. And they gradually begin to walk over the bridge, for instance. But that's just one of the many stories that I've heard. Some people are so scared of being one again because everything that's happened to them in their lifetime has turned out bad.
Yeah.
So don't be offended if they don't jump for it right away because they were taught all their life that Jesus and God are either not real or bad, and they're certainly not sure about meeting anybody new, even God, you know. And so they need our patience. They need us to believe in them, to believe the best and to be patient, to speak life and wholeness over them. But they may not want to be one right away. They may want to just try out our friendship first.
Okay. No, well, I'm certainly glad I got to talk to you and hope the rest of your program goes better.
Apparently it is. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you,
yes.
Lord. I don't know why God allowed that to happen, but one thing I know, God has a way of getting our attention, doesn't he? And
yes.
I believe he wanted the listeners that thought that maybe this was kind of hokey and that bet warfare isn't really real. Now they know it's real. Who can explain what was going on? Because it wasn't just the echo. See, if I had had two browsers open at the same time, it could have resulted in an echo and it would be my fault. But those of you that heard the beginning of this program heard it recycling and recycling. Sometimes they'd say it three or four times. Who knows what caused that, but we won. We always win.
Yes, you do.
Catherine, I just see a like a big jigsaw puzzle table, and the Lord says that I am bringing the pieces of your puzzle together. Not in the same sense necessarily as dissociation, but just the pieces that you are looking for to know more about yourself, your destiny, your calling, to resolve some of the issues that you've been praying about, to bring together some of the relationships that have been stretched out of place. And the Lord says, I have all those puzzle pieces. It's all under my control. I see the picture when it's finished. It's going to be great. And I'm just asking you to trust me. Just keep trusting me because I'm bringing all the pieces together. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Oh, that's right.
You'll just...
yeah.
Now, right now, it's about a quarter after the hour, and that's where you would go back to when you listen to this in the archives to please write it out. But when I reload it, well, I'll have to take out about 25 minutes of garbage at the beginning if I can figure out how to do that. But anyway, you know that you're the first caller, so I hope that you can find that prophetic word and write it out, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, bless you, bless you. I hope you all will call in tonight. It's 917-388-4683. This is your big chance to ask questions. And, you know, you may know a lot of people that know about this subject and have been ministering in this area. But for some of you, this is your big chance, so don't be shy. Okay. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
All right. What have you for us?
Well, we had something really great that happened yesterday in my church service. My pastor had asked me to teach on hearing God. I've gone through some prophetic classes, and so we had a lady come in to our service yesterday, and this lady is actually, she's a fifth generation Wiccan priestess, and I was just teaching everyone on how to hear God and just the different ways that God speaks to us. And I did an activation exercise where I asked everyone to ask the Lord what did he think about them. And the Lord spoke very powerfully to this lady, very powerfully. Oh, boy, it ministered to all of us. And she actually posted what the Lord had spoken to her on my Facebook wall, because it was just, it was very powerful, and I just wanted to share it real quick.
Now, Valerie, help me.
Yeah.
Did you say she's currently a Wiccan priestess or used to be?
No, she used to be.
She used to be. Okay.
Yeah. She
All right.
Is,
now.
She has been basically. She's been going to another church, and the pastor has been encouraging her to receive the healing, you know, that she needs. And that's what she's currently doing, is she's currently receiving the healing. I don't know exactly what sort of ministry that she's gotten so far. But the Lord spoke to her and said, "My daughter, I love you with an everlasting love. You are my prized possession. You are beautiful. You are perfect because you are of me. I don't make mistakes, and everything you've endured, you have survived because I've always been with you. The pain, the abuse was not for you, but for me. You are good. You're worthy of love and of kindness and goodness, even gentleness and unconditional love. You are precious to me, not in spite of, but because of your brokenness. It's never been about you. You had to learn to help others, to lead them to me so that they may know me. You are healing to help me bring healing to those just like you." And that's what the Lord spoke to her on yesterday. And
was he prophesying through you, Valerie?
That's what the Lord spoke to her yesterday. The Lord
okay.
spoke that to her yesterday. Very powerful, and I believe that you know the Lord wants to bring complete and total healing. She's still in the process of healing, and she knows that God is real, but basically she needs to break off, you know, all that she's been in with, you know, being a Wiccan, you know, priestess and everything. But that was just very powerful, what you shared tonight concerning how it's easier for those that have been involved in basically Satanism, or, you know, they're more easy to become intimate with Father God and to receive that intimacy than those that have been in church. It's just so true. As I was teaching yesterday, she was just receiving what I was teaching on yesterday, and it's so true, Prophet Carlotta. The non-believers are, you know, are so open, you know, to the Father and to the Father's love and to His healing, and so that was very powerful yesterday.
Wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone, or is she open to receiving Restoration Prayer Ministry?
Yes, I believe that she is open to receiving Restoration Prayer Ministry.
Okay,
yes,
you're going to minister to her?
I need the training, and, you know, in order to do it.
I tell you what.
But she is very open.
If you can connect us, and just go real slow, because, you know, they need to be able to have their boundaries too.
Mm-hmm.
She might even agree to you being the intercessor on the call.
Right.
We can minister over UVU or Skype or on a conference call, and that might be your training too.
Right. Oh, it was just so so powerful. Just very powerful, because it really ministered to me, and it ministered to another lady in our church, because so many of us as women have gone through abuse as children, and oftentimes we do disassociate it. You know, a lot of times we have no memory, and there are, you know, women that do have memory of what happened. I know with myself, I've had no memory of what has happened in my childhood with the abuse, but I've been experiencing body memory, basically, where my body now has been remembering what I went through. I've been having just different symptoms and different pain that I've never had before, and I believe it's because of what I've gone through as a child, where I've suppressed it. I've had no memory of what happened. I basically survived what I went through as a child.
All right.
In order to survive.
I know that some of our listeners are probably wondering if we are nuts. But I tell you, if you have ever been in the room with me or someone else that's ministering to someone that has many little parts inside, and different ones come out and begin to talk and begin to tell you their story or cry it or act it out or draw it or whatever they're old enough to do, what Valerie's saying is that even the bruises, the cigarette burns, the cuts, the bleeding, the infection or whatever may surface on their body, and you can see it with their own eyes. That memory is not just something in the mind. It's the trauma is stored in the body, in the cells of the body. But even the injuries may surface for healing right before your eyes. So that's what Valerie means by body memories, I think. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I mean, I've even had, it's just been strange. There's times when I've had scratches
mm-hmm.
on my body, and there's been no reason why I should have scratches on my body. I've seen scratches, and I don't know where these scratches have come from.
Valerie, one time I had a lady who ran through the woods nude because the devil told her to, and she had scratches over every inch of her body running through thickets. And
wow.
It's absolutely amazing the hold that devil has over some people. But, I mean, she didn't act demon-possessed. In fact, she didn't even talk for a long time. And when she finally talked and she was asked, you know, how'd you get all these scratches? She said, I do what the devil tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to prepare ourselves to know that nothing's beyond the devil. He will hurt people any way he can.
Mm-hmm.
But our job is to listen and to empathize and to pray and to offer unconditional love and acceptance.
Yes. Exactly.
Now, if you want to learn how to minister restoration, I'd be glad to minister it to you and to train you. I mean, I'm really hoping that the church will rise up to the occasion and realize Satanism is huge. They really are trying to build a super soldier army. They really do plan on winning the Battle of Armageddon. I mean, have you ever thought, where are all these people going to come from that are going to fight in the Battle of Armageddon? Well, their numbers are multiplying right now. really multiply. I just saw a weird picture. What can this be, Lord? Valerie, I just see that God has given you the power to take the horns right off those devils.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know that they literally have horns. It's got to be the most unique picture I've seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Jesus Christ, who has all power and authority in heaven and earth inside you. And he has the ability to strip the devil of anything and everything. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says that you have Jesus Christ in you, and not to fear the horns of the devil, because you have the power to take them right off his head.
Amen.
Figuratively.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe that's for some other listeners, too, who are thinking, boy, I wish I had the courage to help these people. I have compassion for them, but I don't have the courage to hardly even listen to the story again. And the Lord says, no, you have Jesus Christ, Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, inside you. You have the only power source and the greatest power source in all the universes inside you.
Yes.
All he wants from us is our willingness. And Lord says, Valerie, I know you are willing.
Yes.
You are willing. You'll say, yes, Lord. Speak through me any way you want.
Yes. Whew. Amen.
Any other insight? That was very, very encouraging. Did you have anything else to share?
This is just such an important subject area that the church is really healing ministry is such a taboo. I know that I've gone to another church in order to offer it, and that church, that the pastor would not take time out at all to look at any material. I tried to give information to the youth pastor, because there's a lot of Satanism among youth.
Yes.
There's a lot of our young people, they're hurting, and no one will minister to, you know, the hard subjects, especially abuse. Our young people have gone through abuse. There's a lot of abuse among young people, but no one wants to minister to abuse.
Well, I won't say no. I won't say no one, but there are several factors. You know, while a lot of the parents come from a generation where you deny that a Christian can have a demon, or you deny that God would let anything bad happen to a Christian, you know, the young people are growing up in just the opposite generation that wants spiritual power. And if the church keeps insisting that there's no spiritual power to be had in church and it's not allowed in this church, young people will go somewhere else besides Christianity looking for spiritual power.
Yes. And they are. They really are.
They are. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so what we've got to do is choose to receive the power and authority that's in us. We've got to choose to be obedient ourselves and say, yes, Lord, use me in any way you want. Speak through me, hug through me, give through me, and begin to have faith. Really have faith that Christ in us is our hope of glory, and Christ will live through us if we let him.
Yes.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And here we have, you know, I'm so glad that you all received that Wiccan priestess, ex-Wiccan priestess, and ministered to her and affirmed her, and that you're befriending her on Facebook and all of this, because, you know, a lot of people ask to be my friends on Facebook who don't appear to have the same belief system that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I ask God about each one, because Jesus was a friend to sinners.
Right.
And when he went to Zacchaeus' house and ate with him, everybody was flabbergasted, shocked, or offended. But we have got to learn how to be his love to others.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I'm done preaching.
Amen.
All right, I want to hear some of those stories about stripping the horns off of devils, okay?
I will.
All right, dear. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. You have a good night.
Oh, I had another caller, and now they've chickened out. And if you'd like to share a comment or ask a question, please push number one so that we can hear your insights or ask the Lord for the answer to your question. If you'd like prophetic prayer ministry on the air, please push number one so that we can hear what God says to you. You hear how this is such a blessing to everyone when this woman receives this prophetic word. And I find that's always true. When whether the prophetic word is for me or not, I still receive a blessing. Amen. Amen. Well, now, no one is pushing number one. So if you thought, if you have, okay, here we go. I was going to say, if you want to say something, you know, speak up, because this altar call isn't going to go on for another half an hour. Hallelujah. Okay, area code 480.
Hi, Carlotta. This
Hello,
is Marilyn.
This is. Oh, hi, Marilyn. How are you?
Hi, I am fine. This is also interesting to me because, of course, as you know, you've been ministering to me for this kind of thing. And I was thinking I don't have multiple personalities where I'm changing like that, but that long list of things that you read, prayer, you know, that long list of prayers, I said, oh, yeah, all of those, almost all of those apply to me, even though I'm only fragmented. But I wanted to say, it's not people, just people who have gone through ritual abuse like you're talking about. But I have a very, very close friend. You know, multiples don't just have to have gone through multiple or through ritual abuse. And a very good friend who was molested for years by her father, and she went into very many multiple personalities. And
for those of you that don't understand what Marilyn's saying, and 2 weeks ago we talked about just having fractures in your personality. It's not another whole personality with its own lifestyle and spending habits and attitudes. You know, these fractures may just do one function in your life or maybe stuck at 1 year and never, you know, grow further than that. And then last week we talked about people that know how to dissociate with real amnesia walls between these parts. And they may not realize though that they have done it till they're in their 30s or 40s. So tonight we went a step further, and we were talking about possible reasons why a person would dissociate so completely that these parts can even be controlled or programmed. And so tonight we talked about dissociation after satanic ritual abuse. So we're talking about each week is a different level, a different type. And what Marilyn's pointing out is so true, that if 1 out of 4 girls have been molested and 1 out of 6 boys, that many of them were from, you know, they were molested or abused by a family member or a neighbor or something like that. It had nothing to do with Satanism.
And yet, yes, exactly. And yet still, the kinds of things that you are praying, you know, like they're, I can't remember, you know, that long list of things that you said, you know, about the way they feel about themselves and all those things are the same.
Right, and I want you all to hear what Marilyn's saying, because you may have related to a lot of them too. And you may even want to go back over that list. It was 60 things. And see, how many of those things do I need to give myself permission to do, you know? Maybe
right.
I'm not owning my own perceptions and sure of them. Maybe I need permission to go out and try new things without fear. You know, so those are challenges for a whole lot of us for different reasons.
Right. I had a very controlling mother, and a lot of that came from that, you know. I didn't have the ability to. It was very interesting on Facebook. I don't know if you saw someone put on Facebook the pictures of Van Gogh. It was a whole a song, I guess, someone had written and was singing about him, about that he put all of his love into his paintings, and nobody heard it and nobody saw it. And for years, I don't know if you saw that one. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, but anyway, it was like it just brought back to me when I was, you know, for many, many years, I did the same thing. I painted hoping that somebody would see my soul and love me.
Wow.
But nobody
wow.
did. And it was the same thing. It's like I poured my soul into my paintings because I had no voice. My mother had pretty much effectively taken away all my right to have my own opinion and speak my own voice, you know, to say my own things. I had to agree with her or not say anything at all. And so I had no voice, but I put all my love and poured it into my paintings. And so
okay.
I had said, you know, but there's so many other things, too, you know, that affect that, that, you know, the controlling, like you're talking about the programming. My family came from Germany, and I don't, you know, I've read that where they take somebody and they'll take their personalities and they'll program them into certain personalities and all of that. And I know that
we're not saying all Germans do that. My husband's German. We're not saying that. But I was thinking
when you said that I was like, well. But the
programming and mind control is alive and well and going on today and has a whole lot to do with our politics, but I better not go there.
Right.
I want to underline what Marilyn said when she was underlining what I said about the artwork. It is very important if you're working with a survivor of abuse or a child that inhibited you know, being intimidated for some reason, they can't talk or they're too young. Very important, adult or child, to look at their artwork. And I want to give an example, and then I'll have to run on. But I was applying to teach in a Bible college, and the president of it interviewed me, and then he started to give me a tour of the building. And when he took me to the conference room, there was a hand-painted, a large picture that looked like a cosmic picture, kind of like the average person would probably just look at it and see that all these circles were probably in the cosmos. But when I looked at it, I saw that one of them looked a whole lot like a baby in a papoose, very simple, but it had those shapes. And another one of them looked like a little Snoopy dog, not real well defined, but clear enough that it said it was a pet. That's what it said to me. So I turned to him and I asked him, was this painted by a survivor of ritual abuse? And he said, yes. How did you know? And I said, well, all of these circles are different parts of them. And this here, this baby, is the core person that they're all protecting. And this little dog is the first pet that they were required to sacrifice with their own hand. And he said, wow. He said, you've got the job.
Yeah. Yeah, but
because
they do have art therapy. I know a woman that does art therapy, and it's very interesting what people will paint.
Yes.
You know, what,
and
what,
they will be, just
yeah.
like you said, they're
yeah.
trying to show you their soul, but they're too fearful or intimidated or whatever to come out and tell you, so they'll draw it.
Right.
You all have to realize when you grow up under an oath that you will never tell, never contradict your parent or the abusers or the grandparents, when you grow up under that inner vow that your life depends on you never being real, never sharing, never talking, that's huge. You don't break it easily. Okay, Marilyn, I see you running. I see you running, but it's a good kind of running. It's a running to minister, to pray, a running in the power of God. And you literally have flames shooting off of your backside. I mean, all your whole, the back of you up and down. But you have just flames. There is so much fire of God on you in this picture. So much of the power and fire of God that there are visible flames trailing you.
Well, that's true. I mean, my heart, ever since we discovered that, you know, that I have this gift of being, you know, segregated into parts within me, and I know of other people going through that and know that there's so few people that are ministering to those kind of hurts and wounds that know how to minister to it, or like you said, that even talk to people that don't treat them like they've got green spots all over them and run away from them, or, you know, it's just
it's
my
true.
Heart.
They get rejected and thrown out of church, so where are they going to go?
Right. And my heart is just burning, just like we had like that picture you were saying. It's just like, I want to reach out
these
to
fires.
All of them. I want to hug them.
The
I want to hold
the
them.
Holy Ghost.
You know, so sorry that, you know, you went through this, you know, let Jesus heal you, you know. I just, oh my goodness. It's such a true picture of where my heart is ever since we started doing this,
right.
You know.
Well, stay with me here because God's got a lot more for you. He wants to restore you far more than you ever imagined. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, let you run. I got two people to fit in 10 minutes.
Okay,
bless
I'll talk
you.
To you later. Yeah.
Love you all. Okay. Now, let's see. Area code 256. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Corletta. This is Jessica calling. I really enjoyed the show tonight. I've been listening these past 2 weeks, and it's been really, really good. I'm calling tonight mostly just to hopefully receive maybe a word from the Lord tonight. I don't know if you want me to be more specific than that, but.
Well, not very specific because it's easier for me if I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
We've never met, right?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right. I just see the fingers on your hand, Jessica. And Father says, I'm putting healing in your hands. And first, that healing will like go up your fingers to you and heal you in many areas that even you don't know about. Areas that you haven't thought to ask. Areas that are hidden. But the Lord says, I'm going to set you free before you even know that you're a captive. Before you even know what the bondage is. I want to work so quickly in your life. If you'll spend that time with me, just like hold my hands each day, the Lord says, use your fingers to hold my hands and to journal it. The Lord says that healing that I release into you and through you will also come back out those fingers for others that are in need of healing and restoration and captive. And the Lord says the devil is going to regret that he ever messed with you, that he ever tried to hold you back. And even the people that he's tried to use to hurt you, the Lord says my desire is to restore them too. To restore them too. So don't be afraid. The Lord says I have it all under control. My desire is to put healing in your hands and to heal through your hands. And there'll be people that you'll lay hands on and pray for if you're willing. And they'll be healed of more things than they ever knew they had. They'll never even have to remember it or relive it. The Lord says, because of what's been stolen from you, you'll be able to carry that anointing that would multiply and multiply in others. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that word.
Can you relate? Can you relate to any of that?
Yes, a little bit. The this, I'm going to have to go back, I think, and listen to everything and write it all down. But
well, yeah, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to embarrass you. So have a good night. No.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Bless you. All right. I'm sorry. I'm the same way. When I receive a prophetic word, I remember about one sentence of it, and I forget all the rest until later. Area code 412, welcome to the program.
Prophetess Carlotta, this is Elaine. I just wanted to make a comment. I, of course, I have to get your Restoration Ministries book. I had ministered, not knowing at the beginning of the ministry, thinking it was, you know, deliverance at a there's no normal deliverance, but a regular normal deliverance, and then in the midst of it, finding out that it was SRA with the satanic ritual abuse. And that just made it harder because I think you had mentioned before, like some of the things that you would normally say you thought was normal, but whenever you mention Father to someone that has gone through that,
right,
or the name of Jesus,
right,
it means, or love, because some of the satanic ritual abuse acts that had been done to them, it was done in the name of love. So whenever you would, I would try and mention the Father's love, that would just spiral the whole situation out of control because their meaning of love was totally different from what mine was. And their meaning of the Father was totally different than the Father in heaven that I was referring to. So it's a whole different thing that they have gone through. And they just interpret life through a different lens than what you think that they would see life as.
Right. Is there a way I can help you with this?
No, I was just making that comment. That's
okay.
Just someone that I had ministered to. Yes.
I didn't know if you were actively ministering to them right now.
No.
I want everyone to feel free to call me, you know, consult or to ask questions or even to ask for help, or maybe if you've received Restoration Prayer Ministry before, maybe we could minister to this new person together. But don't think you're in this by yourself. I mean, you know, it takes a keen ability to hear the Holy Spirit, but experience too. You know?
Yes.
It does. Yes. And we all need each other, and we need to have partners when we can and have intercessors to protect us. And that's something I didn't say tonight. But we really need intercessors to protect us when we're doing this. It's nothing hard for God. It's not that he can't protect us. But you see how much static and echoing and all this trouble we had on the program tonight. The devil really doesn't like this ministry. But he doesn't win. He doesn't win.
No, not at all. No. I just wish I had known you back in 2008 whenever I was doing that ministry there, because I would have needed your help, definitely.
Well, God knows, and his timing's perfect, and I'm sure he had another plan for them, and he didn't let them fall through the cracks.
No.
It's okay. It's okay. The Lord was just showing me two piles, and one's got, you know, wood, hay, and stubble in it, and another one precious gems and gold and silver and all. And the Lord says not to worry, that everything that you have done in the power of God, that you've allowed Christ to do through you in his anointing and his power, you know, not your own strength, that the Lord says, I've blessed it, I've multiplied it, I'm taking care of the seeds that you have sowed. You know, I've watered and fertilized them, and not to worry. Not to worry, because, oh, by the way, Elaine, he's reminded me of a question I asked him once, because I found out somebody that was totally unprepared to be a parent was fathering another child, and I thought, oh, God, look what happened to the first two.
Mm.
And God was like, sit down. I said, okay. And I saw this vision of like us sitting at a little Parisian tea table. And God asked me, he said, would you like to know about all the abused children in the world? I said, definitely not. Definitely not. And he said, well, leave this one to me too. Leave them to me.
Oh.
I'm in charge. I'm in control. Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bless you. Got one more caller. I think we can do it. Okay. Area code 310. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I had. Yes, thank you for the program, and I was calling with a quick comment, and that is, I know you've often said God's will, way, and timing, and I think for people ministering and being ministered to, sometimes we want an open vision. That may not be God's plan at that moment in the healing, in the restoration. But we know that he wants total freedom for all of his children and full restoration. But
you know, and he heals us in different ways, in different parts of the ministry. Like recently, one of the biggest breakthroughs that my most recent prayer receiver got was when we were praying and canceling out all the, breaking the power of all the generational curses in his family line. And there was a huge breakthrough. He got a phone call from an estranged family member and who offered, you know, to reconnect and some good things. I won't go into his business on the air. But it was, we hadn't even gotten to the healing hurts part. It was during breaking the generational curses, and here came all this freedom and breakthrough. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Yes, so I just think, don't anyone get discouraged because God has his plan and we show up as his loving representatives and his children for healing, and God will bring those right people in to pray with us, pray for us. And it doesn't make anyone better or less worthy or more worthy. He has his his perfect plan for each person.
Amen. And Patty, I saw some doors, and all these doors had regular doorknobs, but I saw your hand reaching over to the doorknob one after another, and the Lord says, my hand is in your hand opening doors for people. And it's just part of the way that I enjoy living through you and opening those doors, doors that no man can shut, but doors that might not have ever been open if they hadn't had someone to agree with them in prayer to help open that door, or, you know, if it hadn't been for my hand and your hand, Patty. And it's been my pleasure to work through you to help open so many doors for others.
Well, thank you, God, for that word. Thank you, Carlotta, for your ministry. And I just pray for myself and everyone here that we fulfill that destiny which God created us for. And don't fall for any of the deceptions of the enemy so it doesn't get in our way.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's see. Okay, now I want to pray for everybody. Not just those who've called, but for everybody. And here's my prayer for you tonight. Lord, you are a spring of compassion welling up in us that will never run dry. You know all of the deep wounds and effects of abuse and all of the people that we will ever minister to and touch. You know the angers that rage and the questions that have gone unanswered. Only your goodness can undo all of the unspeakable evil that has been done to them. But we choose to trust you, Lord. Help us to no longer deny the unbelievable, to let go of our mindset, and to let go of our shallow agendas, Lord, and to get seriously involved in helping the helpless. Help us to sort out our own questions like, where were you, God? Where is God in abuse? We choose to trust you on behalf of those who have no faith, to go back in time and to restore all the years that have been stolen, to restore all the blessings that have been lost, and to replace all the empty, dead places with fullness of life, your life. And we choose to believe you, Lord, for relationships, for these survivors that will be healthy and whole, and a whole network of helpers who are committed to providing safe, understanding relationships so that they can, you know, have the support they need and the courage to believe for wholeness for themselves. Lord, show us when to write encouraging notes and when to call and listen, when to invite them out for fun or when to just be there, and when to ask for professional help and to refer them to someone, or when to take care of ourselves in the midst of this process. Lord, help us to discern how to love each part of this person's fragmented personality to life with your grace and inexhaustible compassion. Love each child within, each altar, each part, and help us to know how to minister to them appropriately for their age. And with your creative spontaneity, Holy Spirit, Lord, as we walk through the process of healing with these wounded ones, we trust you to replace our horror and shock with understanding, our grief with your healing balm, our brokenheartedness with new hope, and our resentment or rage or bitterness at the perpetrators with a willingness to let you be their judge and jury. So help us to let go of futile attempts to collect this great debt that only Jesus could die to repay. I choose, Lord, I'm praying for each one, everyone listening, regardless of their past, to have permission to be an important person with needs and preferences and choices and safe boundaries and God-given identity and purpose and freedom to be interdependent rather than dependent on people. And I will keep speaking the truth of their God-given inheritance in Jesus Christ and share it with them freely so they can be unconditionally accepted and totally forgiven, and to know that they are loved and lovable. I pray that everyone we minister to will have the courage to heal and to try out that new, true identity, having been forgiven and made holy and righteous and blameless, according to Ephesians 1, totally apart from their past performance. And my prayer is that we will all be a demonstration of the passion of Jesus Christ, who came to earth to take every pain, every grief and shame and fear and every one of these horrors upon himself, replacing it all with his love and joy and peace and understanding. We thank you, Lord, that your heart alone is big enough to not only contain all the pain, but to take it away. And we thank you for making us safe, healed people who can partner with you to minister healing to others. It's such a privilege. We just thank you, Lord, that you not only heal all our diseases, but heal us and our broken hearts and we renew our minds and restore our souls. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We just turn our eyes on you, Lord. We turn our eyes on you, knowing that in you we are complete. In you our emotions are healed. In you we gain purpose. You have plans for our life. You know our destiny. And I thank you that you're able to go back in time and heal every wound, every hurt, to rebuild our fractured images, self-esteem, everything, and to mold us and make us after your image. I thank you that you say we're priceless. You're willing to give your own life to pay for our healing and freedom. I thank you, Lord, for those that are called to minister to survivors of abuse. Thank you that you're giving them the courage now to call me and to ask for help, ask for training. I thank you for those that are willing to get the Inspiration Prayer Ministry manual that they'll study to show themselves approved. We thank you, Lord, that you start us out with baby steps, but that you do equip us to minister in tougher and tougher cases. But mainly, I thank you that none of them are tough for you. I thank you for every person that will hear this broadcast. And I pray that your healing anointing will flow through the broadcast forever and ever. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name.
Some choices are hard, like should you choose McDonald's Buttermilk Crispy Tenders or the Buttermilk Crispy Chicken in our signature crafted recipe sandwiches? Well, guess what? You can't make a wrong choice. It's Buttermilk Love, and that's good news. Speaking of good news, now you can get McDonald's two-piece Buttermilk Crispy Tenders for just $2 from their $1, $2, $3 menu. Cannot be combined with other offer or combo meal. Prices and participation may vary.